Hey, gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National People Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is the transatlantic cable of free speech. Yes, the transatlantic cable, which was originally laid in, I don't know, around 1900 or something, maybe before, maybe after. And it helps people speak freely across the ocean. And that's what we're going to do today with Mark Collett. We're going to speak freely across the ocean. But to keep that transatlantic cable well serviced, you need to provide badly needed fundage. Do that by going to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send badly needed fundage, and go to nationalbugle.com. Download the Kosher Certified app. It's totally awesome. You'll be glad you did. You will lead a non-kosher certified lifestyle. Okay, Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It is good to be here, and I have had a very, very busy weekend.
I'm sure you have. There's been a lot going on with your patriotic alternative. Why don't you tell us about it?
Well, there has been a six-month-long investigation into Patriotic Alternative by journalists, by Britain's leading newspaper, the paper of record, The Times, and by Britain's most famous investigative journalist, a man called Dominic Kennedy. They have finally published their findings. Now, I myself have spoken to the newspaper. I conducted a two-hour-long interview in a hotel conference room not too long ago with Dominic Kennedy, and unbeknown to him, when he was talking to me, I secretly recorded the whole thing. And I now have an article full of things that have been, I wouldn't say they're lies what they printed, but they certainly printed things with a little bit of with some
distortion.
Yeah, or artistic license is what I was going to say. They presented certain things in a way that weren't exactly what I would say were true. But nevertheless, it's like when you're talking to somebody, you can hear the way somebody puts an answer over. But if you phrase that answer in a written way or frame it in a slightly different way that it was said, it can come over completely differently. So I have this two-hour recording of myself verbally sparring with the Times reporter who conducted this six-month investigation into myself and Patriotic Alternative and my book. And that will be going up on my channel this Friday as my weekly video. So everyone can hear exactly how I dealt with this journalist, exactly what was said, and they can actually then decide whether they think the article was correct or not. I mean, I would say most of what was written in the article was a big nothing, because we answered the questions very, very well. I was accompanied by the deputy leader of PA, Laura Towler, and the article was a credit to us both, and it was also a credit to Patriotic Alternative, because we went in there, we answered the questions very honestly, but we were very combative with the journalist. We never backed down.
It was Kelly. What was his first name?
Dominic Kennedy.
Oh, Kennedy. Dominic, yes. Kennedy. And what outlet does he write for?
I said earlier, The Times, which is our paper of record. It's the most serious paper in the UK, which is why this was a big deal. The Daily Mail then picked up on that and made a smaller article themselves out of it about my book. The Times and the Daily Mail made big issues of the fact my book is still being sold on Amazon, which to date, it is still being sold on Amazon. Amazon haven't pulled it as of yet. But because of the newspaper coverage, my book did rise in the search rankings on Amazon, and over the weekend it topped the bestsellers list on Amazon for political science. So it was listed on the Amazon website as a number one bestseller over the weekend.
Are you serious?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
So that was pretty good. In fact, when you looked up, I've got a screenshot of it to prove it, and because obviously
obviously something like that is quite good, but I do actually have a screenshot to prove it. Just give me a couple of seconds and I will...
Well, and while you're looking for it, I have thetimes.co.uk. Amazon takes its cut in book deal with far-right leader.
Yes, that's the article. And Amazon, when you looked it up, it had underneath, it said Mark Collett, Mr. Mark Collett, The Fall of Western Man, and underneath it says number one bestseller. This is one of our most popular items. Tap to see more. So that was a pretty big thing for me. I'm obviously very pleased about that. And it was kind of a nice end to the day because obviously the objective of the article was to get the book banned. The book, as of time of writing, hasn't been banned, thankfully. I'm not saying it won't be banned. It may well be taken off their site in the forthcoming weeks or months. I don't know. But I was actually pretty happy with the actual situation at hand. And obviously, it was a nice end to a day because these people were trying to obviously break me. They were trying to get my book banned. It hasn't been banned, but there really isn't anything crazy or wild in the book. But if you want to pick up a copy off Amazon, I suggest you do so sooner rather than later, just in case it is banned, in case it does go down the memory hole. But at time of speaking with you, it is still active on the site. So grab a copy while you still can. That's all I've got to say on that one. But
so I just want to ask, so you haven't published the audio tape of you talking to this reporter, but you have written an article based on it.
There's not. The full audio recording will be published this Friday as my weekly video.
Okay. Well, that's something to look
for. I have a friend who is not editing it. There will be no edits. The whole thing will be played in its entirety. There's not going to be any edits to it, so don't worry about that. We're not chopping anything out. There's nothing that's going to be untoward done to it. But what we are going to do is just clean up the sound levels. One of my friends is doing that now. So when you listen to it, it won't sound quite as rough. It's just being... as you do, cleaning it up slightly so it sounds a little bit warmer on the ear, and it will be there in its entirety on my BitChute and my Odyssey come Friday at 1 p.m.
Okay, and how long is the audio going to wind up being?
It'll be the full 2 hours, unedited. Wow. And complete.
Alright, well that's something to look forward to. Okay, now there's a lot going on, and there's always way too much going on. A recent development in the United States is that over the weekend, pilots from Southwest Airlines, in particular Southwest, who's the president of the company, had given this deadline of early December to get fully vaccinated, and the pilots have just started calling in sick. Pilots and others, I guess there's a lot of ground crew and others involved, and so it's crippled the airline. They had to cancel a lot of their flights, not all of their flights, but they had to cancel a lot of their flights. And it's not just Southwest Airlines. You have air traffic controllers who control the airspace around the, you know, southeastern states, kind of like the Confederate states, more or less, or at least the eastern Confederate states. They also didn't show up. Nobody was there. And air traffic had to get rerouted around that dead space. And so you had, I guess, planes that were going from, say, New York to Florida that had to go by way of the Mississippi River in order to stay in airspace that was controlled. So you're getting some major disruptions starting here. You know, you haven't had the big out on the street demonstrations. Nick Fuentes had a very respectable demonstration weekend before last in the state capital of Illinois, but, you know, it was a few hundred people. He had a good speech. Black Lives Matter has made a little bit of a ruckus in New York City, but you don't have a giant street movement here yet. And so it may be that essential professionals who are being forced into choose between their job and their future potential health, but also future tyranny for everybody. You're having a lot of them putting it all on the line. And one last thing is the things are continuing in Australia, and there are starting to be some fruits from the labors of their demonstration. So I'm throwing that out at you. What do you make of all of this?
Well, the first thing I want to say is it's very, very telling that for a long time the media have been saying that this jab is a godsend, that everyone can't wait to be jabbed. And they've been getting people, well, when I say people, they've been getting anyone who's well known and is enthusiastic about the jab to get up in front of the media and say, you'd be mad not to take it. You know, everyone's going to take it. We're all embracing it. This is wonderful. One guy in particular in the UK who's been doing this is a guy called Charlie Mullins. He is the owner of a business called Pimlico Plumbers. He looks a bit like Rod Stewart, a bit of a fool, a wealthy fool, but a bit of a fool nonetheless, a bit of a clown. He's actually quite a dislikable guy, to be honest. But they keep getting him out, and he keeps reassuring everyone that everyone that works for him is going to have to sign a new contract. No jab, no job. And a few of these blowhards have been coming out and saying this. And I've been wondering what's the deal with this, because obviously they're trying to convince everyone that anybody who is anyone would take the jab. So if you're anybody who's anyone, if you're a sane, normal human being, you'll be queuing up for your jab as well, and you won't be able to wait to get that needle jabbed straight into your arm and make sure that you too are fully jabbed and compliant. And obviously that is the aim of this particular campaign. The aim of this campaign is to get as many people jabbed as possible. But more and more we are seeing professionals, famous people, athletes, famous sporting stars coming out and saying they're not taking the jab. Recently, I believe there was 7 members of the England team, the England football team. Now, obviously, many of the members of the England football team are not white, but nevertheless, these members of the England football team were refusing to get jabbed. There was a similar scandal, I say scandal in inverted commas, with the BBC's flagship show Strictly Come Dancing, where celebrities go onto a reality television show where they're taught how to dance. A variety of different dance schools go, or types of dance, they're taught a variety of different types of dance, and then they dance with a professional dancer, and over the weeks people get voted off for not dancing well, and eventually the public get to choose which dancers are the, or which dance pair are the champions. And it's a big show, it's a big well-liked show, lots of people watch it, it's the BBC's most viewed Saturday show, it's huge. And recently there's been a, as I said, in inverted commas, a big scandal. And the big scandal has been that ultimately many of these professional dancers do not want to be jabbed. Many of these professional dancers have been refusing said jab. And there's been a big thing in the press. These people should be named and shamed. We need to find out who they are. But it's clear that not everything is well in terms of celebrities and athletes wanting to take these different jabs. And now we're hearing about airline pilots, we're hearing about other groups, we're hearing about people banding together in workplaces and potentially suing their workplaces for attempting to force the jab upon people. And we're also hearing, and this is very, very interesting, I believe it's the governor of Texas has signed a mandate stating that people won't be forced to be jabbed in the state of Texas, which is obviously very good. And I think we're starting to see real pushback here. And despite the media claiming that everyone in their right mind will be jumping at the chance to take these jabs, there are lots of people who aren't jumping at the chance to take these jabs. And interestingly, the people who aren't jumping at the chance to take the jabs, they're not just sort of your tinfoil hat wearing loners who sit at home all day eating Cheetos, watching
videos in the dark corners of the internet, which could be labelled conspiracy theories, there are plenty of professionals, celebrities, athletes, people who have actually got quite a big stake in life who are saying, no, we're not taking it. And there seems to be a growing and organised fight back, not just against the lockdowns, but against these jabs. And despite the fact that they've been telling us that the jab uptake has been so high, we're actually seeing a very interesting phenomenon. And that phenomenon is that despite all these people being jabbed, the jab doesn't seem to be protecting them from COVID. There are plenty of reports of people who have been jabbed once or twice, still apparently getting COVID, still getting sick. And on top of that, there is, of course, the absolutely huge issue of many, many people being jabbed and actually experiencing heart problems, strokes, experiencing all kinds of adverse reactions. And in the UK alone, there have been over 1.1 million adverse reactions that we know of to date from the jab. And, you know, you could actually say that this is obviously a really, really interesting sort of development here, because people are now starting to see that this is posing an actual major health risk to the population, and people are scared. Now, I did a video last Friday, and it was called, well, I can't remember the exactly what I called it. I think it was, is the COVID jab causing heart attacks? Because in the UK, we have seen a sizable rise in certain parts of the country of heart problems, and we already know the jab causes myocarditis. We already know that the jab can lead to autoimmune responses, which obviously leads to blood clotting if it's affecting blood cells. And we know that blood clotting is a cause of heart attacks. Blood clots cause heart attacks, they cause strokes, and there is mounting evidence to suggest that those who have been jabbed and those who have been jabbed multiple times are actually at risk from blood clotting. So I think there's going to be more and more pushback against the jab, and it isn't going to be from the kind of people that the media said would be pushing back. It's actually going to be from professionals. It's going to be from people who are quite well known, which obviously the media don't want, because if you've got people like airline pilots saying, well, we're not taking it, normal people are going to say, well, if these airline pilots who are obviously very well paid, got good standing in society, are saying they're not doing it, well, why should factory workers? Why should anyone?
Yeah,
and I think that's going to be a big issue.
So a week or two ago, we were talking about healthcare workers in New York, right? They were required to get the jab by Governor Hoochie Coochie, and you know, some Black Lives Matter people demonstrated because a lot of healthcare workers are Black, and so this is all racist. But Hoochie Coochie just said, okay, we're going to get the National Guard, and then we're going to get a bunch of Filipino nurses. We're just going to import a bunch of nurses from, you know, Philippines, and doctors from Ghana or Nigeria or whatever. We're just going to bring in all these other people to do the jobs. With airline pilots, that's really tough. Because you can bring in some you know, someone from Ghana, but you can't make them fly, and so this,
yeah, and you probably wouldn't want to do that either. I mean, obviously, in the medical profession, you don't want any botches, because botches kill people, but botches in hospitals can generally be covered up. Botches with airline pilots are much harder to cover.
Yeah, you can cover it up, but you need a whole bunch of bulldozers and
yeah,
right. You need like a whole battalion of bulldozers and wreckage workers. But we're up at the first break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Okay, we're back. Now, you mentioned Governor Abbott in Texas. I didn't mention him, but that's true. That he is just what was it? Was it a is it a Texas executive order? He's saying that that there will be no vaccine mandates in Texas. Now, there's three interesting things here, right? One is obviously the rising level of awareness of what you were just talking about, the negative health implications of the jab, which are just, it's becoming more and more clear. And yet, in his Abbott's own statement on this, he made the false statement that the vaccines are safe and effective, and they're neither safe nor effective, and it's absolutely clear. And the people who would, you know, support his position know they're not safe or effective. And so why take the why repeat a lie that is used by your opponents to justify their position when you're taking an opposing position? But that is the absolute state of American conservatism. And then finally, and this is also an interesting thing, it does put Texas on a collision course with the federal government. It puts Abbott in particular on a collision course with Biden. Biden is saying that companies with government contracts, companies with 100 or more employees, like this whole class of corporations that aren't owned by the United States government, but they must comply with Biden's dictates and have all their employees vaccinated. And Abbott is saying, no, in Texas, they mustn't do this. So there's a collision course. I don't know how it's going to play out, but honestly, when you concede your opponent's big lie from the get-go, it's not the greatest way it's not the greatest first step. But what do you think of all this, Mark?
Well, it's not the greatest first step. I actually hadn't seen the document that stated this. I just heard that he was, as you said, on this collision course with Biden, and he's giving some pushback. And I've got to say, obviously, I don't think the vaccines are... I don't think they're even vaccines. That's the main draw of my video that I've just produced. They're not actually vaccines. And I go into great detail explaining why they're not vaccines.
In the United States, they had to change the legal definition of vaccines post facto.
Yeah. This is exactly what we're talking about. This is all a great big scam. But it's still good that Abbott's doing this. And it's good that Abbott's doing this because it's making people think. It's making people talk. It's giving people that... it's giving people strength to push back. And this was kind of why Trump was a good thing. I know a lot of people will go mad at me bringing up Trump because a lot of our people absolutely hate Trump. I didn't hate Trump. I thought Trump did a lot of good. And the reason I thought Trump did a lot of good is because many white people had the same concerns as Donald Trump. Many white people were worried about the same things as Donald Trump. They were worried about mass immigration. They were worried about demographic change. They were worried about the southern border crossings. But many of the white people that we're talking about, they actually, despite being concerned, would never say anything because they were scared to say anything. They were more scared of saying something than they were about the actual issue that they wanted to talk about. So they were scared about immigration, but they thought, well, if we talk about it, we'll lose our jobs. And they were more scared of losing their jobs or becoming social pariahs than they were of the effects of mass immigration. And that's one of the ways the establishment holds people in a certain position, holds people in this sort of limbo where they're scared about something, but they're more scared of talking out than they are about the concern they have. But Donald Trump legitimized talk about mass immigration. He legitimized talk about these things. People were saying, well, you know, if the presidential candidate can talk about it, I sure as hell can. If the president can talk about it, I sure as hell can. And this was a really, really big thing at the time. It gave people the strength to actually speak out. And I think this issue in Texas is a good thing, again, because it gives people the chance to speak out. It gives people the strength to speak out, because if you've got the governor of Texas and he's saying, you know what, we're not going to be pushing ahead with this, I'm not going to force people to do this, ultimately that is something that will give a lot of Texans strength to actually say, well, I've been thinking this all along, but now I'm going to say it. But I think it'll also give people elsewhere in the country strength to talk about this, and it might even give other politicians elsewhere in the country, because Texas is a very important state. It's a big state. It's historically held a lot of power and influence. And because of that, I believe that this is a big issue.
Yeah, it is a big issue. And I'm glad Abbott's doing this. I mean, Abbott, he's been totally absent in terms of trying to secure the southern border, which half of the southern border is the Texas border with Mexico. And he's been completely absent from that. He could have used his own National Guard to help secure the border. He didn't. And, you know, I'm glad he's doing this. But, you know, this thing about conceding your opponent's premises, we saw the whole stuff. We saw this play out last year in the summer of Black Lives Matter riots, when all of these Republican politicians said, well, yes, George Floyd was murdered. Yes, there's institutional racism, but this isn't the way to go about addressing historic injustices. And that's conservatism today. But we'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Okay, we're back, and so Texas, the airlines, there's stuff happening. What else is happening in terms of pushing back against the corona apocalypse and the medical tyranny and the medical? What do we call it? This is like totalitarianism. What kind of? It's a new totalitarianism. It's more total. It's actually kind of a total totalitarianism, because the totalitarianism that the word totalitarianism was coined to define was a way of throwing both a Soviet communism and German national socialism into one category and throwing a label on it. But what the totalness, the totality of what we're going into in terms of total surveillance of people makes even the Soviet system pale in comparison. And of course, the German system really never was total that way. But in Australia, way down under, they've been having very vigorous protests. It's hard to follow it because of the totalitarianism, because they're shutting down internets, they're arresting people. But yet there's some obvious results that are coming from it. And last week we were talking about the resignation of New South Wales Governor Gladys Blukla-Jurdanmian. She's got some sort of Armenian name. And of course, she's denying that it's over the brutal lockdown policies that she's had. She's insisting that no, she's just a big whore, and she's been shagging another politician, but you know, you take a look at her, and that's a bald-faced lie. It's absurd on its face. It's absurd on her face because she's like really hideous looking. And, right? Have you seen her picture?
I haven't seen the picture, but that's yeah. That's a bare-faced lie. She's too ugly to have been sleeping around.
Okay, no, but no, that's what her. I mean, she's not saying herself that she's a big whore, but the people around her. Like her staff is saying, no, it's because of, you know, she's carrying on with this other politician. I'll get her name in later in the show. But she's been replaced with somebody else whose name I don't have at my fingertips. But this new premier of New South Wales has ended the lockdown of Sydney, which had been going on for about 4 months, almost 4 months. And so they're, you know, saying, okay, you can have your freedom back, or at least probably some abbreviated, attenuated version of freedom. But, you know, and I don't think it's going to be acceptable to the Australians, but we'll have to see how it goes. But I'm throwing that to you. Australia, are they making progress?
I think they are making progress. And the thing with Australia, you might say that Australia are finding it difficult to get media out. And when we say media out, they're finding it difficult to get information out about what's going on in Australia. And we have seen this absolute draconian and totalitarian lockdown on freedom of speech. We've seen that people have been, had visits from the police for simply posting things on social networks, which is absolutely scandalous. But have the government been effective at essentially stopping information coming in? Because here in the UK, and I know there's still problems here in the UK, but life is largely back to normal here in the UK. Now, I went out into a city. I had some shopping to do, took Mrs. Mark and Sophia out at the weekend. We went out, we had coffee and donuts, we did a little bit of shopping, we went on the train, and there are a few people still wearing masks, but there's not a huge number of people wearing masks anymore. There are still little notices asking you to socially distance. There are still hangovers from the lockdown, and when I say hangovers, I mean you still have those pots of hand sanitizer at the entrance to shops, and you still have little notices on the train saying, if you can wear a mask, please do, but no one is doing. But these things are getting fewer and further between. And as I say, it's more of a hangover from what was going on before. And then you have countries like Sweden, where they haven't had a lockdown, where there has been no lockdown, where life has just been normal. I remember having the Golden One on my show, and I said to the Golden One, how are you missing out on going to the gym? How's it affecting you? And he was like, I'm not. I said, oh, have you got a gym at home? He says, no, they haven't closed the gyms. We don't have a lockdown here. And that's very interesting. So whilst I think the Australian state have been quite judicious in stopping anything getting out, and they've been stopping people talking on social networks, have they stopped information getting in? Because that's a key point when you're talking about a potential rebellion, when you're talking about a potential uprising. If the people are getting information in, and they're seeing countries like Sweden never have a lockdown, the UK largely going back to normal, they're seeing people all over the world going about their normal daily lives, and they're being told, oh, no, we need to achieve zero COVID. We all have to be locked down for years and years and years until there isn't a single case of COVID. I think there'll be plenty of people in Australia who are saying, whoa, well, this is really stupid, because right now you're moving into Australian summertime. You're moving out of UK summertime. UK summertime is now gone. We are now into autumn, or what you guys call fall. And that means things are getting slightly colder. They're getting slightly wetter. We're getting towards winter. And winter here is typically when we have our flu season. So I don't know what will happen then. But in Australia, with that being the other side of the world, or as we call it here in the UK, down under, Australia are actually moving into their summer. Christmas in Australia is Australian summertime, and we always sort of marvel at seeing people on Christmas Day out on Bondi Beach having a barbecue because it is their summertime. So not only are they still in lockdown when the rest of the world is largely opening up, and their lockdown being so draconian and them being told that they can't go out, they can't see people, you know, they've got to give up their jobs, etc., they are actually moving towards Australian summertime. And as we know, summertime is the time of the year when you don't actually have great big flu outbreaks because it's warmer, your windows are open, viruses don't transmit well in hotter, more arid environments. So things are changing. So I'm going to be very interested to see how Australia do manage to keep the lid on. And I also think there have been very many brave Australians who have attended these anti-lockdown demos. The police have got very violent with them. There have started to be clashes with the police. And these clashes do seem to have annoyed the public. And when I say annoyed the public, not annoyed the public that people are actually fighting with the police, but annoyed the public that the police are being so brutal to the general public. And I've seen the responses in the papers over here in their comment sections about this pushback. And largely speaking, the British population seem to be very on board with the Australians in terms of them pushing back against this lockdown. Because remember, the police are meant to be there to protect and serve. They're not meant to be there as some kind of tyrannical security service that is keeping you locked up in your home. That's not what the police are there for. The police are really there to make sure that you don't have to lock your home up, that your home is actually safe because there is a police presence. But instead of that, the police are there to lock you up in your home, which tells you a lot about how far we have fallen as a people, or definitely how far the Australians have fallen. And I think right now we have to really commend those in Australia who have been out on the streets, who've put their neck on the line, that have broken lockdown, that have pushed back against this tyrannical system. And we have to say well done to them, because it looks like finally they are winning. What do you think about that, Patrick?
Yeah, so they forced this to happen. I want to just, for the record, this retired governor, the ousted governor of New South Wales, was Gladys Berejiklian. Berejiklian, which is an Armenian name. She's Armenian. She went to Armenia to celebrate the end of the Armenian genocide or whatever. She's ethnic Armenian. Why you have this Armenian hag ruling over New South Wales is beyond me. And now the new guy is 39 years old, Dominic Perrottet, and I don't know much about him, but he has supposedly lifted the lockdown, but you know, the devil's always in the detail. And so you look at this. What has he done? As of October 25th, school children will return to school. Are they going to be wearing masks? I don't know. But at this press conference where he's announcing it, he's got people in the background wearing masks. The cap on weddings and funerals will be raised to 100. So they're still having caps. You know, so what it seems like is the government is trying to make concessions. You could say concessions around the edges. Maybe they're meaningful concessions, but still retain the right to limit things, retain the right to lock down. We're just ease up, but we're retaining the rights to do this. And of course, when you get down to it, the only acceptable resolution, it has to be a complete repudiation of the all the COVID measures, that they were wrong. They can never be a precedent for future action. And that's really, I mean, obviously we need to take what we can get in the midst of the struggle, but the only resolution can be that everything that happened was illegitimate. The people who inflicted it on us have to be held accountable. And I'm not talking about firing squads, but You know, they can't ever be allowed back into elective office. They have to be shamed. If there's criminal liability, then they have to be prosecuted. This type of thing. And we're far from that, but it is good to see things moving in the right direction. Does that sound reasonable?
That sounds reasonable to me. And I'm somebody who likes to remain positive. As you know, you've had me on this show for a long time, and I like to take the positives from things. So with the Donald Trump presidency, I did take positives from that. And I know you did too. I know that you're somebody who also likes to take positives from things. And it's very important to take positives from things, because there are so many negatives today in the West. There are so many things going wrong. I mean, you just have to look at my latest Telegram posts. The last three: Superman comes out as DC comic ushers in a new Man of Steel. So Superman's gay. Then we've got 4,500 pig's face culled within days.
He can't be gay. He can't be gay.
He's gay. 4,500 pigs are facing a cull on British farms. So apparently we've got all this food shortage in Britain, but we're slaughtering animals and burning their bodies, so we're not feeding people with the animals. Then we've got Jewish professor at Harvard tells white students to kill themselves. Okay. These are genuine things that are happening. Noel Ignatov.
Oh, yeah. And he's dead now, by the way. So maybe he was trying to set an example for his fellow whites.
Well, who knows? But what I'm saying is there's a lot of depressing news out there. There's a lot of things that would wind you up and make you feel like, you know, everything's against us. So I think when things do go our way, we should shout it from the rooftops and celebrate those things. You know, when you are an understaffed, undermanned, and under-resourced guerrilla force that are essentially fighting against a much better armed, better staffed, and better resourced force, you have to absolutely 110% take the little victories and trumpet them when they happen. And that's very important, because otherwise you just get depressed. Otherwise everything's a loss. And there are people out there who are absolutely black-pilled. There are people out there who are absolutely addicted to what you could call depression porn.
Yes.
Where they're like, oh my God, everything's over. We're never winning this. We can't ever make a difference. You know, we've just got to wait until the great collapse. And then when it all goes wrong, we need to emerge from our caves or our underground bunkers.
Or they just say, we need a revolution, with the implication being that we've got to go out with our guns and try and get our...
All this rubbish. And what we need to do is dispel this and take actual wins. When we get a win, we have to take it, we have to run with it, we have to put it in the bank, and we have to say, this was a good thing. And we have to say that.
We have to analyze it and see what succeeded.
Yeah, all of these things. You have to not only do you have to see what succeeded, but you also have to see how that can be used in other places. And if you're engaged in some kind of battle, whether it be military, ideological, whatever, political, it's the victories that motivate your troops to carry on fighting. It's the victories that keep your people happy, and it stops mutiny. If you're constantly getting battered, if you're constantly got people in your trench saying, it's all over, we can't win, it's game over, man, game over, those people are the people that actually do as much damage as the enemy. They're as good as the enemy, because they're spreading this bile that we cannot, under any circumstances, experience a victory. Well, I think we can experience a victory. And every time something good happens, we need to seize upon the good, and we need to spread the word that positivity is a good thing and that victory does happen. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Victory is an intoxicating thing. Everybody wants to experience victory. But, and this is a really, really big, big but, victory is not a binary. Victory isn't either one or the other. Victory is a long road with many shades of grey along the way. Victory is a long road. And in the interim between not victory and absolute victory. There are many small victories along the road, and those small victories should always be celebrated, and they should always be put in front of our people, both to motivate our people, but also to teach our people how victory can be attained so that those successes can be replicated elsewhere in the world. So if we see a victory in New South Wales, that is something we should all celebrate. And if we are still living under tyranny, we should adopt the tactics used by those who achieved said victory in New South Wales. So this, for me, is a good thing on multiple levels, and it's something we should be talking about.
It is, and you know, we have to be able to analyze things, what's working, what's not working, and not just be either so black-pilled or so, you know, black and white about things. But anyway, we're up at the break. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with
Extendivite. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. We are back. And so, Mark, you mentioned a couple times Donald Trump and whether, you know, we can take some positive things from his administration, which, you know, didn't go the way we had hoped it would, but there were some positive things that came out of it. You know, one was his expose of the fake news media. That was good. And whether it was intentional or not, his expose of the deep state, which absolutely happened. You know, even if you're going to look at his failures, so much of the failures were due to being undermined by his own permanent bureaucracy. Trump made a big speech, really a campaign rally in Iowa over the weekend. I listened to the first half of the speech. I think it was about 2 hours long. I listened past hour one. And there was some, you know, I had a list of things that I liked, a list of things I didn't like. The list that I didn't like was longer. But, you know, there are some important things. And whether you, no matter what your conclusion about Donald Trump is, the fact of the matter is he's still relevant, maybe not as relevant as he would like to be, but he's still relevant. He can still put on these massive rallies, get huge numbers of people to come out. And I think it's always... I think it was always a mistake to look at him as a leader. I think I was always saying, look at him as an asset, a political asset that is, at least in the past, was worth struggling over. He's somebody who says all sorts of things, and a lot of what he says depends on who he's been talking to, but, you know, it depends on his environment. We just have a few minutes left. What do you think about Donald Trump and any future role he might have in all of this?
Trump's future role is an interesting prospect because Trump is a guy who is very, very stubborn, and he's somebody that doesn't like to lose. And he did lose. Now, I believe that he lost via massive fraud, but he still lost. And that's why I think he'll be back. I think Trump's doing this because... he doesn't want to let go. He doesn't want to concede. Even now, he believes that he is the rightful president of the USA. He believes he should have had another term. And because of that, I think he's going to try and get his second term. I think come sort of, what would it be, 2020? Will it be 2024? No.
Yes, when the next 2024.
Yeah, come 2024, I think Trump will seriously consider standing again if he's in good health. I think if he's not, if he's still feeling on top of things, and let's face it, he's no spring chicken, but he does look like a healthy man. He doesn't seem to be aging as normal men do, and obviously that's probably because he is both an alpha male of good stock, and he is also a wealthy man, so can afford the best medicine, the best food, the best physiologists, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I believe Trump may well be back. I think that counting out Donald Trump for any reason would be foolish. And if he is back, I think if he played his cards right, he could well stand a good chance. I mean, whether they would cheat him again, whether they'd actually ever let him in again, is another thing altogether. But I think he will be back in some capacity. Now, whether he is back as the presidential candidate, I think that's what he would like to be. But it may well be that he is back as a kingmaker. Because if he backed any candidate, that candidate would have a lot of oomph.
Yeah, and, you know, whether it would be good for... I mean, he's certainly not the ideal leader by any stretch. Whether he'd be a positive or a negative, we'd have to see. But anyway, we got plenty of time before that happens. Thank you so much for joining me today, Mark.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's been an absolutely great show.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are
are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.